got no problem.
Going to the Toshi station to pick up some power converters.
That's no moon.
We're all fine here. No, thank you. How are you?
Welcome to the Star Wars Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Adamacher.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
And I'm going to start off by admitting that I was wrong, Kenton, about one thing in the last episode.
What?
That was the kid. Harris kid was in Rebels. You were right, and I was wrong. And the only reason I forgot is because he was like, it was right at the end when they were wrapping everything up, and they showed that, what's his name, had a kid with Hera, and that's now he was a baby. He was like a toddler at the time. It was like a flash forward or something.
Probably the only reason I remember it is because it's one of the few episodes I watched.
Yes, right. The final episode.
Yeah, I don't think there's a mystery behind why I remembered it. Because I didn't watch, I only watched some key episodes of Rebels. I am ignorant to a lot of Rebels.
And I watched it week by week, and so I remember the ongoing storylines and the characters and that kind of stuff, but I don't remember little details that were only mentioned once and then forgotten. Okay, so we are going to get into the fourth episode now of Ahsoka.
Yeah, we're going to do big picture to start with.
Sure.
I think it's begging for it. You go first, and then I'll...
I don't want to keep complaining. I feel like... I'll mention it this last time, and then I'll leave it. It continues to do the things that I don't like it to do, which is refer to the time between the old times with Sabine and Ahsoka, where they were together and some awesome times were happening. They continue to be boring and weirdly paced and drawn out conversations. And the holy crap, was that a boring lightsaber battle? I gotta say, I was quite
interesting.
I was just like, okay, we're gonna hit each other? What's gonna happen here? Come on. So that was my take.
That's interesting. You surprised me, actually. I would say the beginning of the episode was wooden. And not something, I was like, this is not good. I thought the first 6 minutes or whatever, I thought, oh, guys, this is just going in the wrong.
This should have been the end of the last episode, right? Remember when you said at the end, let's just tack it on at the end if you need to do this stuff, right?
Right.
Whatever they're doing here.
Right. So I did not care for that first 6 minutes. I really thought things were getting flushed down the toilet quickly. But to my surprise, I then... enjoyed the episode quite a bit after that. I'd say I don't think it's the best episode of Star Wars ever, but I think it's the best episode of Ahsoka. Am I damning it with faint praise?
It's weird that we have such different opinions about it.
Well, not really though, because I totally understand what you're saying, and I do think some stuff in there is more successful than others. I think some of the decisions made by characters in this episode were irritating. There's a few things like that, for sure. The writing showed itself sometimes as being a construction of the writer.
Like you said, it's like a Canadian... Now that you said that, I totally see it. The Canadian drama or whatever. It's Degrassi Junior High.
I will say overall, though, did I get a kick out of the last, three quarters of the episode? I did. I did get a kick out of it. And I am looking forward to the next one. So in a global kind of way, I did enjoy it. A friend of mine he now lives in California. My friend used to live in Texas.
Oh, okay.
He texted me and said, what did you think? And I said basically the same thing. And he's like, I hope they introduce Thrawn soon. I hope they do this soon. He didn't say he didn't like it, but basically his comments were... I'm getting impatient.
We're four episodes in now. Yeah. Where's the big bad guy that we're supposed to get? And it's not if it's supposed to be these guys, they're not holding it up. They're not doing enough right now to be good bad guys.
You are, and actually, this is great. I'm glad you mentioned that right off the top, because I think one of the things that we could debate or not even debate, that we could discuss, is we keep hearing about Thrawn, yet we have no – the show itself has given us nothing to make us – know who he is, to know what he does, to know why the threat is so big from him, to understand him or the threat. And it was a conscious decision not to show him until they get there, for sure. But does the show need to do more? Should it have done
more? Yes, because not everybody has seen Rebels. Not everybody has read the books that gives this backstory. This should be appealing to mainstream Star Wars fans and even the wider public, I would say. Obviously, they want more people to watch this. And so these are things that people need to know. They're not for a lot of people, this is the first introduction to Thrawn. They've never heard of this guy before. So we need to know more about him, and we need to learn. I don't know how they would do that necessarily. But yeah, I'm just having trouble with the pacing of it. Like, hey, so you're saying the first 6 minutes was that opening scene where they're basically fixing the ship.
I hated that scene.
Ezra means a lot to you, and they go back and forth and all this other stuff. Very boring, right? And it's a very boring way to start the episode.
It's just not fun.
No.
Like, they're not having fun. Ahsoka doesn't have a spring in her step whatsoever. But later, maybe a bit later.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
But yeah, things improved, right?
Right.
Well,
it gets better. You say six minutes. It's a little bit after that. We're 8 minutes where we finally get like the Rock'em Sock'em robots, which I actually quite enjoyed that scene.
Me too. I love. Okay. First of all, the droid. Yes. The droid character. Hoinen? What's his name?
I don't know. I'm going to wait to see if it pops up in the subtitles here and I'll let you know.
Yeah. Anyway.
It just says droid. Oh, no. Those are the bad droids.
Yeah. And yeah, that was gold. I thought the production, the forest looked great, and the lighting.
Yeah, that was cool. That kind of stuff reminds me of like The Last Jedi when they go with those basic colors like red and that kind of stuff. I like the
beautiful.
Setting. The setting was very nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, they come out here, they make short work to these guys. It's not a challenge at all. Once they come out with their lightsabers and their blasters, boom, they're done. And I just didn't feel any stakes at all in this. Like, okay, so they're finding them. Now I guess Ahsoka decides to go off and look for the bad guy or something.
Well, they know. They know that, and they're looking for the map, really. They're looking for that.
Hu Yang. His name is Hu Yang.
Hu Yang,
H-U-Y-A-N-G. Hu Yang.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Interesting.
And the fact that he's a lightsaber trainer, I thought he might spring a surprise on
us. Well, he might have his own lightsabers. So he doesn't appear to.
I thought that might have been a payoff there, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I still liked it. I liked that fight, and I think it's also realistic that he didn't necessarily win the fight.
Well, he needed help, right?
He knocked his head on purpose to short.
Yeah, that's right. That was cool that he kind of gave him a signal that there was something wrong. But it basically sets them back. Like, he was on the verge of fixing the ship, and then boom, no, just focus on the transmitter, get the word out. They know that Hera's coming eventually.
Yeah.
They think they know that. I think we established that.
And we see her leaving. I thought one of my favorite actors in the episode is the guy who says goodbye to her. And he goes, "What should I tell them?" And she goes, "Oh, you'll think of something." And he goes, "Bah!" And they spend a moment on him going, like, "This is my job sucks."
Yeah, no,
I like that. I like seeing.
But you can't leave without authorization. She's like, watch me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then not only that, she takes a squad with her.
Yeah.
She takes like Kim's Convenience and his crew. Like, what the hell?
I was happy to see him.
I was always happy to see him.
He's Carson.
So good. Carson, yes.
Yeah. I was happy to see him. Did you know the second you saw a Rodian flying an X-Wing, I think we all knew that he was going to be toast, right?
I didn't think that.
So?
Why would you assume that?
I was like, there's going to be a war, and we're going to need to get rid of some of these X-Wing fighters for the purpose of storytelling.
But they did it in such a weird way. Oh, I hit my microphone. They did it in such a weird way. Like, it's like, they killed them, but why like that? Why? Anyway.
Because it was cool, I guess.
It was a cool effect, but I don't think anybody needed to die that way. I would have preferred that they were shot down by enemy fighters or something. That shows intent. The way they died was an accident, and I didn't like it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, so we know the fleet's coming to see them. They're in the woods, and they come face to face with the two baddies. What's his name? Merrok.
The guy in the mask?
We never have to worry about him ever again.
I know. I'm like, what? Yeah. Who cares now?
Well,
I kind of wanted to say, everyone's like, it's Ezra. No, it's not. It's nobody.
It's a Dathomir witch potion.
He kind of like blew out in smoke. Was he like a demon, an incorporeal demon?
You know what I thought? if this were an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, he would have gone, "You're not just blowing smoke out your ass."
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But I kind of like that he was no one, because it's sort of like he's a spell, I guess. I like the fact that it literally took the air out of the "who is this" discussion, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
I have to say, I didn't mind the lightsaber fight. The only part that I thought it was a good lightsaber fight. But the only part I minded was the degree to which, once again, it seemed contrived. Like, I just need to drop a smoke bomb and I can go missing, kind of thing. And it's just, it doesn't seem realistic.
No, and it's like, we're running through the woods, through woods. Stop, face off. And they're very, very slowly paced. Mm. Right now I'm at the one in the woods with her and Merrick or whatever his name is. And he's got a cool double. Like, this is cool because he's got the old you know, the Inquisitor helicopter blade. Remember those? They used to fly with them. In the cartoon, they flew with them. He doesn't fly, but he does get it going really fast there. So that was kind of cool.
And it looks like she has the solution to the puzzle of the spinning lightsaber, which is, and it's a pretty convincing solution because it's like pretty much one shot and you're out. Yeah, that's hilarious. I thought it was a little like Indiana Jones facing the knife fighter, like just like, okay, all right, here's my stance.
That's right.
For this particular problem, like. Done.
Now, while this is going on, they have now this procedure, I'm going to call it, of getting the coordinates for the wherever Thrawn is, figuring it out. And it's just very intricate. Like, it's got these different levels, like a clock filling in.
Yeah.
So they have to, like, build the tension that way. I didn't really feel it. I thought it was all kind of artificial.
Well,
it doesn't need to look like this. This doesn't need to happen like this. They're all doing this for the show of it.
I thought the image was like an infographic, like going like, we have two, but we need eight. We have two lights are on, but we need eight lights to be on before we can do this. It kind of cracked me up. Just, I like the visual of it. It was funny.
I think a lot of these decisions are made because it's for international audiences.
Oh, sure.
You know, they want it to be like, hey, everyone can understand what's happening visually. They don't need to explain it verbally. So that's why it is. And it's fine. I'm not complaining about it. I just thought that part of it wasn't too bad. It was the whole big holographic and the thing pointing out into space, like it's actually pointing at the real spot. I'm like, you don't need to do any of that.
Right.
Right? Like, what are you talking about? And it seems very weird. And, of course, it takes a long time. It takes forever, so they have time to go and stop them. And she stops them, and then she doesn't stop them, right? That's a little frustrating.
Well, I liked Ahsoka's showdown with Ray Stevenson.
See, I didn't. This is the one
I liked it. No, I liked it. I thought he's a brute. He's like a brute in the same sort of manner that Qui-Gon was. Like, he's a big man with that lightsaber, and it looked like the blows are powerful. But Ahsoka has more, like, she can spring around more. Like, she's more, she's got kind of more space that she can use when she's fighting him. I just thought more dexterity. That's the word I was looking for, but. I liked that matchup. I thought it was pretty good.
I just thought it's like they're sitting there looking at each other, lightsabers drawn, and it just felt too long. Like, okay, somebody hit somebody. I've sat there. I'm like, come on, what's going on?
It looked like they're both defensive fighters waiting for somebody to land
the
first blow.
I get that, but it's like at some point.
She did. She actually jumps forward first.
Like, look at that. They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's too long.
Oh, I kind of like this.
They cut to a different shot of them looking at each other. Like, this is how long this is going on for.
Yeah.
Before even the first hit of the.
But we know. I kind of also like that they have the little
or third shot of them.
They've got the little globe that she wants to filch there as well, and here she goes, boo boo, and. I kind of like this fight.
I think maybe there's something wrong with having a lightsaber battle this early because it's traditionally something that's at the conclusion of a Star Wars movie, and we're used to seeing it. And at that point, it has so much meaning, right? The lightsaber battle, to see them in an episodic television show like this, like at a point where we know that it's not real. Like, she can't die. He could die, but I don't think he would die at this point. Doesn't feel like they would. It doesn't seem to mean anything to me.
No, I got a thrill out of seeing when Sabine put on the Mandalorian armor and she starts shooting.
Sure.
I thought that was really good. I like the fact that she couldn't suddenly use the Force. That could have been bad writing.
She seems to hold her own with the lightsaber, though, like against that other apprentice.
Well, but she also, we don't know how much experience she has. I don't think it's lots because she's young.
Sure. Yeah, she's young. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I had no problem with that. I don't like the dropping of the smoke bomb and vanishing, though.
Yeah, that's
because
a whole
trick. But I think this battle, I think it's an interesting battle. Now, the way it ends, I don't know. the some of that stuff, maybe not. And then pretty soon Sabine shows up here too.
Yeah, okay. So they're fighting. She grabs the globe and it burns her hand somehow. I don't know.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think, would they go that far? Does she have the markings on her hand, like Raiders of the Lost?
And can't she use that to find out where they're going?
Yes, because he destroys it, and he goes, now nobody will be following us. Ha, 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 ha. I was like, well, if she has the burn mark and a whale, a hyperspace whale, I think we're I think we're safe as kittens.
Can you when you show her hand to the whale and say, "Hey, take us right there."
Hey, yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey.
Yeah, you got I think you could be right. That could be absolutely it.
She'll go, "We're missing a piece," and R2-D2 will project the rest of it.
Yeah, I don't like the way this ends, and but there is some good conversation in here about Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
He brings up Anakin, and then that, and she's like, no, I don't want to talk about him. I'm not, like, it's very clear there's some hurt there, and she doesn't want to get into it, and she just wants to fight.
Anakin talked a lot about you, and she goes, well, he didn't mention you. I thought that was a good burn.
Yeah, and there's, but
he never mentioned you.
clearly there's going to be something revealed there between him and Anakin at some point, right?
Yeah.
And then, he throws her over the cliff. Oh, yeah, Sabine shows up. They have their back and forth. He throws Ahsoka and then takes on Sabine and then knocks – what does he knock her out or something?
No, well, with Sabine, he says – don't.
Oh, like, yeah, he gets her to give it up.
Do you want to see Ezra?
Yeah, that's right.
I was so mad when she made that decision because it's like you are part – you're part of the rebellion. Like all – like maybe that's the backstory to talking, the part that we –
that we've never seen.
Right, that she feels so strongly for Ezra. Like I think the equivalent though – would have been like Han and Leia, let's say, were in that position. I think Leia would have said, I don't care, like blown the thing to bits for the good of the rebellion.
Right.
Over the good of even the person she has
or
a connection.
She would have faith that she would still find Ezra even though they don't have that thing. They'll find another way, right? That's kind of what you do.
Right. So I was angry at her for making the script.
Me too. I was yelling at the TV.
The script said you have to make that decision. I don't know if that felt like the right thing. Or like something that she really would have done.
Yeah.
But I guess Ahsoka wasn't there. Like all the
she's
chess
not feeling
pieces.
Confident. Maybe I don't know. I don't know what it is.
And he says, "I will not harm you at all. You have my word." He seems to be a guy. Like normally a Sith, forget it. Like you don't have their word. They're still gonna kill you. But he didn't. He seems like he is a guy whose word. Who is a man of his word. So that was
a trustworthy Sith.
Yes.
He does seem that way, yes. He seems very sure of himself, but doesn't seem as evil as other Sith lords we've come into. In fact, we don't even know that he's a Sith, right? We just know that he uses he uses the dark side. Which doesn't necessarily make him a Sith.
He says no harm will befall you, but he puts cuffs on her nonetheless. We don't see him do it, but when we come back, she's got cuffs on. I don't think we see him doing it.
That's right.
She's got cuffs on. You're a prisoner. Like let's be honest here. You're not just going on the ship with them. You are a prisoner on that ship.
But it will get her to the point. And I think I think that's part of the problem here is that they're too concerned with getting them from point A to point B.
Right.
They have to get them across the galaxy to see Thrawn. And I guess then we're going to spend the other... Well, we'll get to that in a second. I'm getting ahead of ourselves. But I don't like how like they basically just throw Ahsoka off a cliff and then does she just show up in this weird place at the end? Is that what happens? Or did they go back to her? I missed it. If they did. Because Ahsoka gets thrown off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Not even harmed. He just slashes at her lightsaber, and that knocks her off somehow.
Yeah.
And then that's it. We don't see her until we see her wake up in the world between worlds or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, how she gets in there?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
We don't know.
Okay. Okay. I thought they would have shown something or shown her landing or I don't know. That was weird.
It's a cool a shot that they give us there because you don't understand what's going on purpose. I mean, the hyperspace jump, we already talked about the X-Wings and Hera showing up.
I don't think we've gotten quite to the attack yet. Yeah, here, now she's showing up.
Because she arrives to the bridge, then the X-Wings and the ghost, of course. It's the ghost,
well,
right?
They did spend a lot of time on it. They did spend there was a shot of here it is. Here's the shot you've been waiting for. Here's the ghost. And so they see the ghost. And I forgot who the little kid was again. I was like, who's that with her?
Yeah.
Oh, it's her son. Oh,
and Chopper.
Right.
And
Chopper. But where's Zeb?
He should have been one of the X-Wing pilots, but they're holding him. They're holding off.
Why, though? Why are we holding people? We're halfway through the show. Give us all the characters.
Plus, we saw him on The Mandalorian.
I don't
care.
I want more
Zeb
as an actual character in the story. It's weird that they're not. That he's not part of this.
Well, I think they wanted to wipe out the fleet of X-Wings minus Carson, and that's what they did. So they're still in play. So they can follow the humpback whale.
Well, you think they're still going to take the humpback whale to the other part.
Right. Okay, so all of that happens, and I liked it. I like the jump to hyperspace and the fact that it has suction. It's like such a massive hyperspace jump that they've got there, that it just leaves everything behind in its wake. I'm like, okay, that's crazy. And we see them all on the bridge with Sabine.
With Morgan.
Yeah, and she says, ignore them. I don't think we've ever heard that in Star Wars, ignore them.
They're always launching fighters.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, okay, that's kind of an interesting take. Like, they're not going to be able to do anything. I still thought that they were going to get some shots in. Like, did you think that there was going to be
I thought that we would get like into a Millennium Falcon on the side of the Star Destroyer situation where the Ghost was going to tack onto it and hitch a ride. That's where I thought they were going with that, because it was flying at it, really, almost right at that moment, and it was, it's going to grab it and do that. Didn't seem to do that, and I honestly didn't think anybody would die at that point. I thought, okay, well, they're getting away, they don't need to kill anybody.
Or thought the suction could suck all of those fighters with them.
Oh, with them over to the other side.
That could have happened.
That would have been cool, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that could. There was a bunch of stuff that could have happened because we've never seen that in Star Wars before.
Yeah.
And then we get to the part we were talking about, which is the shot, a weird shot that appears to be off the cliff at the water.
Okay, wait. I'm going to go back to it and see what I can see. Okay. And Hu Yang is with it by himself. Oh, yeah, okay, so go back to along the water, over the cliff. See, this is what I'm talking about. I forgot about that shot of the cliff. That's what I get. Like, she went into the water is what they're saying with this shot.
Well, it's purposely vague and...
Water is Ahsoka, and now we're going to fade into...
And we fade into the worlds beyond... Between worlds, I should say, the world between worlds.
And it's
worlds.
Just her arm and her...
She's laying there. We don't know how she came to be there. We don't. It could be her imagination, for all we know. But there she is, and she hears. I had subtitles on.
I didn't.
So in the subtitles,
so you knew who it was.
Hey, Snips. It says. And by the way, Snips and Fly Guy are two of the all-time worst pet names, nicknames.
Well, why
for
does
people.
He call her Snips?
That was her nickname.
Well, why though? There was a reason for it. And I can't remember.
She got a haircut.
No, I don't. It was in the first episode of like Clone Wars.
Was it?
Yes.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, it says mysterious voice in the subtitles.
But when you hear that, you know who it is.
But I know. I thought you said it was given away because it would have said Anakin.
Well, no, the Hey Snips part gave it away because nobody says that. But
yeah. And then we got like I don't know. Is this like computer version of Plasticine Anakin?
No, I think he's just slightly de-aged.
Slightly. This is like, oh my god, this is the worst CGI.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I thought that was horrible. He looks awful.
No, I thought it was fine. That did not do anything.
This just looks like a computer generated Anakin Skywalker? Like, this looks like it's straight from a video game.
No, I don't think so. I think it looks like Hayden Christensen with a de-aging, but they're also in the world between worlds, so everything looks glowy and you know, like okay. That didn't bother me for a second.
All right.
No.
Well, and then came the most frustrating moment for me of the episode, because it cuts to black.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Goes like, dun, dun. It goes from like, wow, to bum, bum. Like almost dun, dun, dun. So, and we need to point out, Anakin is not wearing his Jedi robes that he had as a ghost at the end of Return of the Jedi.
He's wearing just a black robe.
That's Attack of the Clones. Outfit.
Is that what that is? Like before he turns into Darth Vader? But before he turns into Darth Vader.
What's that?
When he's evil, but before he turns into Darth Vader.
Potentially.
Okay.
But so he looks, I'm not sure if this is like a trick or this is really him or there's good and bad or who the hell knows or this is an illusion.
Well, here's what I think. I think this is meant to be the place where Jedi go when they die. I think that this is where they become the Force ghosts. Mm-hmm. And then they learn to come back and bridge the gap to the real world. And so this is where they all live. Mm-hmm. And until the only first one to figure out was Qui-Gon, as we've learned, right? Qui-Gon was the first one to, or maybe they've always been there because they're one with the Force, right? This is like the Force in a world, I guess. And so now she's dead. I think she actually died. And she's in this world. Yep.
They killed Ahsoka.
Yep.
No,
now
bullshit.
Now she's a Force ghost. Or she'll find a way to come back.
Bullshit.
You don't think she died?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, how else? Okay.
She got pulled out by Anakin Skywalker.
How, though? How?
The machine that they had set up there that created the Star Force fields sucked her in. The hyperspace, anything.
How did it happen in Rebels? Do we remember how Ezra travels to the world within worlds or whatever?
I did see that episode, and I saw the Yoda one.
It was at a Jedi temple, though.
That was the Yoda one, too, right?
I think so,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but it was like through a specific setup, like they had a portal or something built there. That, to me, that's more deliberate. Like, you are doing a thing to get through to the other place, like a doorway. This is like someone grabbed her and pulled her in there.
Something,
that's what you're talking about. That has to happen. Otherwise, she falls to the ocean and she dies.
No. They didn't kill Ahsoka on the show called Ahsoka.
But that's what they showed us. That's what they implied with those shots, is that she fell into the ocean and died, and now she's in her...
I don't think they implied that. Right. I think that was purposely confusing. They want us to feel confused.
Well, I feel confused, all right.
And
not in a good way.
And I think that was an artistic decision to show it that way. And we will solve this problem probably at the beginning of the next episode. And maybe it also occurs to me, I don't know how World Between Worlds works, really. I don't think anybody does. But it occurs to me she can probably just step out wherever she wants. Well,
I can't wait to find out. I can't wait to find out. I think this is Dave Filoni's contribution to the Star Wars universe. This is going to be deep Star Wars like lore here, and they're going to use it to go forward to do other storytelling. And this whole construct, they have to explain it better. They have to show us what it is and explain some of the rules.
Because
we don't know. We don't know what this means.
Well, we don't really know the rules of the Force either.
Well, we know some of the rules.
Some.
Right?
But as recently as the last episode or two episodes ago where she said talent is part of it.
Right.
But it's not just that. Anybody can practice kind of thing. But I think there's lots of different things we could be seeing here, I think. And we don't know what we're seeing, and that's so as a result, everybody thinks it's what they think it is. But we'll find out. I do think this could be a portal to get to other universes and things like that. So why wouldn't it be?
She's gonna get to Thrawn through this.
Yeah.
This is gonna give her like a portal to. That's clearly how that.
Or
happens.
the whale hyperspace.
I think the other guys are gonna use the whale. I think Hera and the rest of the crew are.
But
gonna
they,
use
they
the
might
whale.
Need the burn mark on her hand to be able to.
Oh,
do
yeah.
it.
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
So we'll see. Let's see. But I do think it's a Raiders of the Lost Ark burn.
I think that's likely, because he made such a point, no one's coming with us.
Right.
And then you know that somebody's going to prove that wrong.
No one's coming with us. They can't look at this, but it's on her hand.
And nobody made any other version of whatever this is that I'm destroying.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
it's also constructed.
I was happy to see Anakin at the end of that episode, but once again, I'm starting to think that a lot of my issues with this show, when we say it's pacing, well, it's pacing when you're only giving us one episode a week. It's pacing. If we had the whole series to watch in a row from beginning to end, we might feel differently about that.
I don't think so. No? I prefer watching. I was talking to my girlfriend about this. She loves to binge. She just went through the entire all of Good Omens 2 in like a weekend. Mm-hmm. That's a shorter one. But
it's
like
quick.
She loves to everything. She'll binge everything. And I'm not. I like to take my time and watch the episode and digest it and think about it and then watch it next week. I don't mind that at all. I think it's fine that they're doing it that way, but the way they are dividing it up and pacing it within that framework is awful. Like, what is Anakin going to say? I'm just mad that they didn't show it to me now, right? Like, you're kind of pissing me off by cutting it off.
I mean,
right there.
It is a good cliffhanger.
Sure it is, but I mean, I don't know. We don't need a cliffhanger every week.
Yeah, I mean, that my issue with the week before was that it was a beginning and a middle without an end.
Right.
And so we start. I mean, it's the oldest question in the book. Like, why not just land your spacracraft closer to where the bad guys are?
Oh, that's a classic Star Wars movie. Yeah.
Why not just? There's so many why not justs in any kind of movie like this. That at a certain point you just go fine. Like they landed there, and that's where they landed. And so they get out and they have a lightsaber fight because that's where the lightsaber fight took place. But I did notice, as I said, the writing, a writer's hand guided them where they needed to go. It didn't at all times feel authentic to what the characters might actually do.
And I remember thinking at times bad dialogue, and I don't remember about specifically what. Was it the beginning?
The beginning of this episode was not like was very rough, I think, in terms of dialogue.
Okay.
Very like just how are you doing? Good. So you're doing good? Yeah. Like that kind of dialogue.
yeah.
But that's not really what that's not exactly what they said, but a lot like repetition, question, answer, like the stuff you're not supposed to do in an ad.
Right, right.
Like, ever wonder why?
Yeah.
No, I never wondered. Like, all of that stuff. Like, that first 6 minutes, I thought this was going to be a terrible episode. So that's why I was so surprised when things turned around. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And, you know, I did, and I like the mystical. Like, the mystical's been out of Star Wars for a long time.
Yeah.
So I like the reintroduction of the mystical a bit. I think sometimes Star Wars runs the risk of explaining too much and explaining not enough.
So that's a problem. Balance. I mean, they it's hard for them to do that. I don't envy them that. But so Carson is the only one of those guys that survived in that.
I think so.
All right. Well, at least he survived.
And the ghost and everybody in it, and Chopper.
Okay. So now we got to see what's going to happen with them. They got to find their way to Thrawn somehow, and we'll finally see. I guess we'll spend the second half of the season on the other side of the galaxy, or on the other galaxy, I guess.
Well, I think there's a slight hint of something, and that is next week's episode is being shown in theaters in some U.S. markets.
Ooh, that's fun.
And but I looked, I was like, it goes like, enter your postal code or zip code. It's like R3M. I like the Winnipeg one. Yeah. I'm like, let's see. Like, not that I'm going to race out necessarily and see it, but right. I'm like, I want to know.
It's cool if they're doing it here.
Right.
Yeah.
So I type it in, nothing. Nothing comes up. So I just delete it. I just look, what are the cities? And I just go, there's like four of them. So it's like New York, Houston. I can't remember.
Something
like
Toronto.
No.
Not even Toronto?
No, I don't even think it was in there. I don't even think Canada was included.
Oh, then why put postal code?
Yeah, except it said postal code. I'm pretty sure there wasn't Canada. So it's like four or five places that you can go see this in a theater. Well, what kind of episode do you want to see in a theater? A longer one, number one. One which is very cinematic. One in which your heroes are there. So like more Anakin. One in which the bad guy is revealed. So Thrawn. Like, I'm thinking the next episode is a major. This is the one where
we've been waiting for this
threads,
whole time.
Yeah, the threads are going to come together to a certain extent. I mean, there is. We're halfway there.
Yeah,
In this show.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think the next one is going to be important, and I hope it is. I hope Thrawn lives up to the hype and expectations.
I really do, because I was thinking, like, what does this all mean other than preventing Thrawn? Because they're not even, like, Thrawn isn't anywhere close to them. He's still on this other, they're going to him. Yeah. So he's still way far away from everybody that we care about. And so now he's got to find his way back to the, like, there's no stakes until he gets back to the regular part of space.
Right.
So I don't know. I just don't think, until they do that, I'm not going to care as much. And I don't know how they can possibly, I just don't see where this is going and how it's going to matter in the grand scheme of things.
Well, what do we see after the hyperspace jump is very important. And do we end up in some galaxy where we can't find anything, where it's confusing and they don't know what they're doing or going, or do they instantly know where they are and how to find Thrawn? I don't know. Like how Ahsoka navigates it, the Thrawn, like, do we see Thrawn before they discover him? Do we see Ezra before anybody finds him? Like, there's all of these are decisions that the show has to make.
Yeah. And what are they going to find when they get there? Is it going to be like another Jedi temple? Are there going to be completely different aliens there or some other form of life? We
don't know
what's going on there. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, so you're right. I think the next episode is going to be a big one. And I hope it's going to be a lot quicker pace, because I get bored with this show. I keep finding myself wanting to look at my phone and stuff. And I have to resist the urge
to do
that.
See, I didn't find this episode boring. I at the beginning, maybe I did. But that's five quick minutes or whatever. But I found the rest of it to be pretty good, actually, to be enjoyable. And I sort of felt the same about the episode before that. I thought the first two, though, were pretty wooden. And, setting up stuff that kind of in a clunky way a little bit. But, you know, all along, it's Star Wars. You've got great effects. You've got a huge budget.
Sure, yeah.
Everything looks great.
And you've got David Tennant no matter what.
Yes.
He's awesome.
You got some cool droids. Like, so it's not a show without merit. I think it's finding its legs at this point. We did get a little emotion out of Ahsoka in the show. Later in the show.
Yeah, and she perked up when she heard that, right?
She perked up actually when she started fighting the big guy. Like when she said, that's funny, he never mentioned you. Like she had a little more chutzpah in that moment than what we've seen her have. Like,
you talk about Anakin, like that kind of thing? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A little more energetic. And that's fine. I mean, maybe that's all part of the story. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to see stick in the mud Ahsoka anymore.
Yeah, no, and we want to see
the naysayer. Captain Panaka can do that.
And maybe this encounter with Anakin with I think he looks weird. I think his face looks weird, but maybe that's just me. You guys let us know. Let us know if you think it's boring. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Star Wars Nerds. I'm Dan Vadabonker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the Force hit you in the ass.
Going to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
TK-421, do you copy?
I'm taking an awful risk, Vader. This had better work.
That's no moon.